Coming up on TMS, to catch a petabyte.
Need output.
Waspception.
My husband comes from donut people.
It all made sense in the dream.
Everybody loves Morrissey.
Mowing virtual lawns and pumping virtual gas.
It's not my first Isuzu rodeo.
Skeevily biting her neck.
Bobby Frankenberger Stein and Hyman. I whatever.
You added a Steinman and it's perfect. It's great. Moo loo poo.
Dark matter multiplies like rabbits.
Never introduce anything to anything.
Moo left the seat up.
Therapy Thursday and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Lake Superior State University has released its list of the most overused cliches of the past year. Leading the list were the terms cyberspace and online.
Scaramouche, will you eat a damn mango?
From Hell's Heart, I podcast at thee. This is The Morning Stream.
Morning, everyone. Welcome to TMS. It's September 16th, 2021. I'm Scott Johnson, and he's Brian Ibbett. Hi, Brian.
Hi, Scott. How are you? Was that van doing that eat a damn mango?
No. He's not okay. Nearly verbose enough yet. He's
not doing that kind of thing yet.
No,
okay.
Give him a year or so, and he'll be yapping like that. That was just some girl I found who cannot... She thinks that's how the song goes, is eat a damn mango. Yeah. Which is pretty great. You know, you want your kids to have it wrong. Yes. Yeah. It's better to have it wrong than right, I always say.
Well, Fandango is no longer a viable app.
No. No, although
I don't know if it is or not.
I shouldn't say that. What's her name works there? Tom's wife, Eileen, works at Fandango. So I think they're still,
does she? Yeah, okay.
I think they're still rocking it. They own like Rotten Tomatoes and...
Yeah, that's right. Yes. Yeah,
so they're still a concern.
They're still around, yeah.
Yeah. Let's see here. Movie tickets and times. You can still buy your tickets there. Fandango Go or FandangoNow.com. All right. Well,
there we go. See, I buy my stuff directly through the AMC app now because that's the way I do it.
Right.
So I haven't used Fandango in a long time.
Right. Why would you if you've got the deal? You got the membership.
Right.
Are you going to see that? Cry Macho in theaters or on HBO? What are you going to do there?
That's one we're just going to watch on HBO.
Yeah, me
that's
too.
One that I don't feel like needs the full theater experience.
I wonder
plus, I want a woman to stand up at the end of it and go, all right, well, I hope you enjoyed that movie. And I, really know my stuff about Westerns. So if you want to talk to me about Westerns and cactuses and tumbleweeds, see me after the movie, after the credits.
Yeah. I want to hear. Actually, one of the advantages of seeing it at home is we won't see all the strings and sticks that are holding up Clint Eastwood at this point.
What is there a scene where he talks to a chair? I'm only watching if there's a scene where he talks to a chair.
I hope so. I hope that chair is armed and has a cowboy hat on and is accused of cheating in a poker game. That would be pretty cool.
Yes,
I have no. Great. I actually have zero. Zero expectation and or knowledge of what is in Cry Macho.
No, I didn't know about it until we were walking into Shang-Chi, and saw the movie poster, said, what? There's a new Clint Eastwood thing?
Yeah,
what?
And he, not only is he in it, he directed it, and I could be wrong, he's in his 90s, but I just have a feeling at 91 or 2, whatever he is, this could be it, you know? Like, I'm not saying it's it for sure, but it feels like it could be.
Well, if we're talking about him on TMS, that's usually a bellwether.
Oh, that's a good point. That's a good point. I really like, I could watch Unforgiven a million times over. I just love that movie.
Sure.
Love it. So
I
I'm
need
all
to go
in.
Back. I think I've only seen the first of the Man with No Name trilogy. You know, the Fistful of Dollars and a Few Dollars More and. Oh no! Was it a Good, Bad, and the Ugly?
Good, Bad, and the Ugly.
That's what
was
it was.
The
Good, Bad, and the Ugly was the first one. Then Fistful of Dollars. Then A Few Dollars More.
Yeah, they're all good. I like them all.
Yeah.
So if
then we need to do some more Dirty Harry movies on FilmSec too.
Yeah. Get well. Did we do those monkey movies? What were those called? Every Which Way.
Oh, Every Which Way and any Which Way You Can. And
yeah,
we did one of them. I remember Right Turn Clyde being a thing. I remember Brian Dunaway talking about that.
We must have. Yeah,
I think we did the first one.
Yeah, we must have. But clearly we were not interested in doing the second.
No. For whatever reason, that's where it stopped.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Clint Eastwood, here's a new movie. Let's all check it out, I guess, maybe.
Yeah.
All right. I got to tell you. Okay, so I'd like to report my dreams here on the morning stream. And
I love it. And you get your, do you have your box handy?
No, it's over there somewhere, but it's not going to count anyway, because this was like super violent and probably in a different category. So,
Okay.
So in the dream, it was all going well in the dream, because we had set up a, this is so weird now, because at the time, you know, like dreams are, they seem normal while you're in them, but then you get out and you're like, everything's crazy. But we were setting up a sting operation to apprehend in the act
Roxanne.
Of, no.
We were trying to apprehend Roxanne.
We were trying to get Roxanne. She didn't have to turn on that red light. We wanted to get her in. just kidding. So I was having this dream where we were trying to catch this predator guy. And he was this awful dude. In the dream, this made sense, okay, but I'll tell you now and it'll sound stupid. But what he would do, he was like, he looked like Gabe Newell, kind of. Do you know who I'm talking about? The founder of Steam, and or not Steam, Valve?
Yeah, but I have no idea what the guy looks like. I'm pulling up a picture right now.
Get up a good recent picture of Gabe Newell with his beard and his long hair and everything.
Okay. All right. Kind of looks like Michael Moore or...
kind of, but bigger, just a big wide, you know, wide load looking guy with a ton of hair and facial hair and stuff.
Yeah.
Glasses and all that. And he looked just like Gabe Newell, but the hair was like, was red, like for whatever reason, kind of brown red. But otherwise, very Gabe Newell looking and about his size and everything. And what he was what his scam was, is he would show up to a place with a box, like a shoebox looking box, and he would sit down with some lady, and I don't know what they were. In the dream, it made sense. They were like working places, but outside of the dream, I couldn't tell you what they were doing. It was just some place. And he was in there, and what he would do is he would ingratiate himself to these women, and then he would open the box, and in the box was like an old Britannica, one of the encyclopedias for one of the letters.
Okay.
This seemed so made sense in the dream. Outside of the dreams, total psycho. He pulls out these books and he would leaf through them and be really knowledgeable about them. And he was just like gaining their trust with his knowledge of these single issue Britannica encyclopedia books.
Yeah.
And he would do one and then another and he would be, you know, talking his thing or whatever. And then somehow it was at this stage he would assault, attack, and otherwise kidnap sometimes or, you know, be horrible to these women. That was that was his whole thing. And our job was to set up a sting operation where we were going to catch him.
Mm-hmm.
And so somehow I'm in charge of this, and I don't know why, but in the dream, it made sense. And nobody else looked familiar to me in the dream except for this Gabe Newell-looking dude. And no offense, this is not... I like Gabe Newell. This is nothing about... it's not that. But anyway. So in the dream, we set up this sting. And I was hiding somewhere in a closet or something behind him in one of these offices. And he had sat down with his box and opened the lid. And out comes the Britannica. And he's talking about it with the lady. And the lady gets up to go get something out of a filing cabinet. Turns her back. And he launches at her. And like just gets all skeevy and gets behind her. Starts biting on her neck or something.
Oh, God. Okay.
And I went, go, 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 or something. And so,
back, Gabe Newell.
So I jump out of the thing and I tackle him. And it ends up taking us outside of this door of this office into what I can only describe as almost like a prison yard. It's weird.
Okay.
Just outside of this door is a prison yard, and we're rolling around in this prison yard fighting. And I'm trying to subdue him. And at one point, I'm laying kind of on my side, struggling with him, and I start kicking him as hard as I can with my left leg. Hard as I can. And in the dream, it was an intense bunch of kicks. And then, about 4 or 5 kicks into it, I hear this
long
voice.
Long story short. Oh, no, I'm not going to. I'll let you finish.
4 or 5 kicks into this dream, or into this fight, I hear this voice, ethereal voice from somewhere beyond that says, ow, ow, Scott, ow, ow, why are you doing that? Ow, I hear that. And it's in the dream. I'm still in the dream, but I hear the voice like, you know, freaking, it's like Ed Harris in, what's his name? That was his life.
Oh, yeah, Truman Show.
Truman Show. It was like Ed Harris finally revealing he's up there. And I'm like, what the heck? But I'm still kicking. And then she goes, I hear this voice go, it hurts, it hurts. Slowly, finally, the world fades out. Dude fades away. We're not in the prison yard. I'm in bed, laying on my side, kicking the living crap out of my wife, like, so hard. And I could feel how hard, because my shin still hurts where I was kicking her.
Really? I mean, you were kicking so hard, you hurt yourself.
I hurt myself and her. And I felt so bad. It's like 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning. And I'm like, oh, honey, I'm so sorry. It was a dream. I didn't know. She goes, I know, you've done this before. I'm like, this bad? She's like, no, this is probably the worst one. But it made me realize, like, I don't want to have one night wake up. Like, I've got a relative. I won't use names or tell you which, you know, how close the relative is. But I had a relative who in the middle of the night woke up in the morning with her husband strangling her.
Oh, God. Okay.
And was like, gah, gah, and then, you know, yelled and pushed, and he woke up and like jumped back and couldn't believe what he was doing. All part of his dream. It's never happened since, and it never happened before that, but it was the one time. And it scared them so bad. It scared him so bad that he's just paranoid about it now, right?
Like, I'm sure I would be too, right? Because it's like out of control, you know, what the hell?
Yeah.
I was going to say, long story short, Kim and I now have separate beds.
We've gone full Ricky and Lucy because we just can't manage it. I mean, honestly, is that why 50 sitcoms had the separate beds? Were there moments?
I don't think it was because Dick Van Dyke was kicking Mary Tyler Moore, but
oh, Rob, you're doing it again,
Rob.
Oh, Rob. Yeah, I don't know what the deal was, but I don't have a way to the physicality is usually not part of my dreams. Usually, it's just the stuff I observe. And in this one, it got really physical, and I felt so bad.
I'm going to order Kim a body pillow that she can just put between you as like a barrier.
It was bad. I felt really bad. But anyway, I'm going to try not to do that ever again. I didn't eat. I mean, we had Mexican yesterday. Maybe a little too much Mexican, maybe. I don't know. food. And sometimes, you know, if I eat a heavy meal that night, I have crazy dreams. That's not unheard of around here. So maybe that was it. I'm gonna try to temper that. But yeah, man, whew, what a bummer. Don't kick your wife is what I'm saying.
No kidding. Yeah, I don't know what you do. Maybe one of these weeks we have Wendy on, we need her to do a little analysis. I mean, I know she doesn't do dream translation.
Right.
Or at least I don't think she does. Yeah. But, you know, there may be something... I don't know, man, because...
what would cause...
You want to uncover something like that. Yeah, you want to, like, figure out the reason that...
No kidding. You know, even if Kim's not... I mean, Kim's certain... I don't think she's the subject of it, but why would I feel like I jump the plane from here's a brain thing you do at night to here is you kicking the crap out of somebody.
Right. I mean, obviously stuff that you think about during the day comes through in your dreams. And the encyclopedias easily could have been Short Circuit, you know, when we were watching Short Circuit a couple weeks ago and number 5 was going through with encyclopedias and stuff.
Yeah.
That's the most recent thing I can think of. But
Now that you say that, I guess that is the last time I had any contact with any encyclopedia for decades.
Right.
So you're thinking is like, well, so that thought hung around. It's like in a little room, and
it's hanging out there. Gabe Newell, some reason you were thinking about that. You maybe stumbled on an episode of To Catch a Predator as you were searching for something else to watch on Netflix. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I've been watching The Wire. Some pretty dark stuff going on in there.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. And The Wire would be sting operations and stuff like that.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah. Yeah.
And a sting operation going bad is like the whole essence of the back end of season one. Which is what I just
maybe it's time to stop binge watching The Wire and go back to Everybody Loves Raymond or something. So Kim will be woken up by you going,
honey. Hi, everybody loves me.
My brother's a jerk. I can't do. That's the one that I just can't do is Ray Romano.
What are you doing, Ray?
Sounds like Kermit the Frog or something. Morrissey. It's a Morrissey. Everybody loves Morrissey.
I would watch that sitcom right now. All right, we're going to add Bobby to this call. We're going to do some science this morning.
Yeah.
None of this discussion will address my dream.
The science of dreams.
Yeah, why not?
Probably not.
Here it is.
I think science
will make you go poo-poo.
Hey, look who it is. It's Bobby Frankenstein Burger Hyman. And,
ooh, lab coat day.
Whoa, it doesn't look like a lab coat.
Oh, no, it's just a white shirt. Darn it.
Oh, man.
I wish I had a lab coat. I don't have one.
If you get one, would you wear it here? to talk to us?
Yes.
$14.99 Spirit Halloween. It's in the old Circuit City location by your house.
Man, that's hilarious. You just said that because when I took my mom to lunch, I was out in Orem, and sure enough, there is a old Circuit City that is now a Halloween store. Right there. And they do it every year at that same location. And the rest of the year, it's nothing. I don't even know why it's not like a Christmas store toward you know, the Christmas holiday, but it's nothing all year.
Spirit Halloween is the cuckoo bird of retail. It just moves in on nests when the owners of the nest fly away.
It's so odd to me, but hey, we get what we get. Speaking of getting what we get, Bobby's here. We're going to talk some science with Bobby today. Bobby sent over this link about a really interesting thing that I kind of want to escape to, but it doesn't sound like I get to do that. So, Bobby, do you want to explain what not discovery here, but what a bunch of scientists did so that we can enjoy an alternate reality, perhaps?
I'm not sure that it's they're trying to get us to enjoy anything, but understand the universe better, I guess. But some researchers have managed to create the most detailed computer simulation of the universe to date. And not only that, but it fits on a hard drive that you could have in your home, in your pocket, really, but it's an expensive hard. It's 100 terabytes, let's put it that way.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's bigger than my Western Digital MyBook.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a big hard drive, so it's not like all the headlines have been saying you can fit it in your pocket. I don't know if that's true, but
right.
But it is not an unheard of amount of, like, not a crazy amount of space. You know what I mean?
Sure, sure.
Like
they've created a virtual space. I mean, all this talk about metaverse and, you know, Facebook wants to be the first one to establish a metaverse, and game developers are all working on metaverse ideas and concepts, and people think Roblox itself is a kind of metaverse, and it kind of is. This feels like this is in that vein, you know, down that direction of like, you know, science wants to study it and say, all right, well, now we have this virtual universe where we can learn a lot about our actual universe because we can do all this stuff in there and do it safely. And also, you know, in a way that we could never do in the larger scheme. So here's our model to play with. But I feel like this helps pave the road to whatever your definition of metaverse might be, you know, the eventual sort of we figure out how to escape into a whole new layer of reality and you know, spend way too much time there.
Well, how do we know we're not on somebody's hard drive?
We don't even know. Elon Musk says that we're all part of a game simulation. And last night I was playing a game called Gas Station Simulator. Yes, that's right. You heard me right. It's a gas station
taking
simulator.
Taking a break from mowing virtual lawns to pump virtual gas.
That's right. And you take over this old abandoned desert gas station out in the middle of nowhere. You can see what is probably supposed to be Vegas way off in the distance. And people come and they fill up and you sell them gas and you clean your place up and make it better and paint it and do all these things. Anyway, in there, the guy that brings your gas when you have to order a delivery of gas to come and be in that giant tank, that dude is the spitting image of Elon Musk. Like, straight up, I'm not kidding you. It looks like freaking Elon Musk in every possible way. So maybe, just maybe, we're in that simulation right now that he keeps talking about.
Yeah.
When are they going to take all these simulator type games and just like somehow hook them together where you could be running your gas station simulation, I can be on my long haul trucking simulation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, because they've got those simulators too. I forgot what they're called, but
people
you know,
mining space rocks on space at the same virtual world.
Yeah, pull up to your gas station. You can fill up my truck. And then I can go on I need to get my lawnmower filled up or something. They need to hook all these together somehow.
Get on the horn with the Second Life folks, and maybe we can make a third life that is, you know, you can simulate all these great jobs that people really want.
Why the heck not? Well, anyway, so this isn't this, obviously. So what are they trying to actually accomplish here with this?
So, we're a far, far stretch away from, like, simulating things like we were talking about. Because the simulation that they've put together is quite detailed in the large scheme of things. It's, like I said, it's the most detailed simulation of the universe to date. It's 2.1 trillion, quote-unquote, particles. Mm. Now, I put those in quotes because they're not really particles. We're not talking about, like, atoms and molecules floating around in space that make up clouds of galaxies and nebula and everything like that. We're not talking about that. The particles we're talking about are, like, the size of galaxies, right? Like, yeah. Like we're simulating a giant mass of a galaxy and how it interacts with other galaxies in terms of gravity. And over the course, covering 9.6 billion light years of space across. And the goal here is that they're trying to understand the behavior of dark matter in the universe.
Oh, okay.
Because the dark matter, you know, it's called dark matter because we can't observe it. We can't see it.
Yeah.
So the only way we know to understand how it interacts with, because it also doesn't really interact with other matter, what we call baryonic matter, which is like, you know, just everything you can touch is baryonic matter. And dark matter doesn't really interact with it. Yeah. So how do we know anything about it, and how do we learn anything about it? And it's basically through gravitational interactions. So we have to simulate very large scale masses in the universe and look at how they interact with each other, how they move around each other over long, long periods of time. And it's very hard to look at how galaxies move around each other over the space of millions or billions of years when, you know, we've only been observing them for generously hundreds of years.
Yeah, that's true.
So you have to build a simulation to see how this works. We plug in all the math of everything we know about how the universe works and what we know about everything, and we try to simulate what we have, and they've done that. So not only is it 9.6 billion light years across this simulation, but it's modeling the evolution of the universe over 13 billion years.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
So very big.
That's big.
Very big simulation.
Yeah, that's way bigger than I mean this is obviously a lot bigger than people kind of realize. I mean, 3,000 terabytes is also a lot. That's a lot of data, you guys. A mm-hmm. lot. Like, our friend Joey Image doesn't have enough hard drives to be 3,000 terabytes. And he's got a lot
right,
of
yeah, you mentioned 3,000 terabytes because I said it would fit into 100 terabytes, but that's because they figured out a way to compress it down to 100 terabytes. But it's actually 3,000 terabytes, or for those of you who love giant, like, words, like gazillions and stuff like that, that's a petabyte.
Yeah.
Three petabytes of data.
Jeez. About three million gigabytes. Yeah. Oh my gosh. That's a lot. That's a whole lot. You can get, so according to this article, you can get an Exa drive from Nimbus, which is a 100 terabyte solid state drive in a 3.5 inch form factor. It will set you back a mere $40,000 American.
Yeah. So, no big deal.
Yeah. Easy peasy. We got that
lying around.
Yeah, why not? Well, very cool. So how soon do we start hearing anything about this? Other than it seems cool and all great, they've made it, and you can buy this drive and put it on there if you want it or whatever. But at the end of the day, like, when do we see results, and or do we even know that? They're probably
when are we going to learn what happens in 30 billion years in the future?
Yeah.
That's hard to say. There are lots of people all over the world doing math with this right now. One of the cool things about this simulation is that the data that is available, all these 100 terabytes of data that it's available to download. You can go and download it and run your own calculations and simulations with it. And anybody can do it. Like, you and I can do it. It's at if anybody's listening who wants to go and see how that's done. It's at skiesanduniverses.org if you go there, and you can download the data. They give you all the instructions on how to get onto their server, how you need to run the data and look at the simulations and everything. But what's going to happen from that, who knows? Probably we're going to already very soon start seeing, like, interesting results that people find that come out, like, especially about dark matter and where it is, and, you know, filaments of it that run between galaxies and how it influences the formation of galaxies and everything. Now, will that make big headlines that you see? Maybe not. It depends on how, like, exciting and interesting the news is, but I bet you we start seeing results pretty soon, because this is dark matter and how it influences things in the universe is like one of the cutting edges, one of the front lines of astrophysics right now.
Right. Now, will you
so
be able to...
everyone's excited to know.
Do you know if you can zoom around in this free camera style or any of that? Like, how are they viewing this? Because it's hard to tell. They don't really describe it, and the images they're showing are kind of these flat 2D, you know...
Tron. There's stuff from Tron.
Kind of Tron-y. Yeah.
I haven't gone and downloaded it all yet, so I don't know what the interface is like. So it's very likely that it's just the data, and you can just do calculations on the data, and you have to have some other software to load those calculations into or all that data into in order to look at that. So, but I haven't dug real deep. I want to, but I just haven't yet.
Yeah, I'm super curious about that, because if it's something that they may be able to say, all right, you can download it in modules. Here's the Milky Way only, and that's only a gigabyte, so... put that on your drive and mess around.
They do have smaller versions of the simulation, so I wonder where that's centered on. 9.6 billion light years across is only like 10% of the visible universe. The visible universe is like 93, I think, billion light years across.
Yeah.
So the smaller simulations are probably covering smaller spaces. There's actually one simulation that's a little bit bigger. I don't know about a little bit bigger. It might be everything.
Sure.
But that didn't make the headlines because it can't fit onto a 100 terabyte hard drive.
Well, interesting. I'm super curious about this. I'm going to keep my eyes open on it and see what
comes out of it. It's all very complicated. Like, this has to be simulated because there's no way for us to really understand it any better than using computer simulations. Believe it or not, just... being able to understand how three objects in one star system interact with each other, like the sun, the Earth and the Moon, how those interact with each other, that's already incredibly complicated. There's this problem in physics called the n-body problem, which just is like, if you have
That's a problem I'm having these days. Like right now I'm having the n-body problem. But anyway, continue.
If you have any number of objects in space that have mass and gravitationally interact with each other, how do you model at some arbitrary time in the future what's going to happen between them? It's very difficult to predict with just math and pen and paper. Two objects in space, it's easy. We figured that out a long time ago. Three, it's a lot harder, but possible. But anything beyond that, you really need a computer to run those calculations for you, because it's incredibly computationally difficult.
Yeah, well, it's cool stuff. And as always, Bobby bringing the cool stuff, man, on a platter. Woo! Right here for us, and it fits nicely.
Served right up.
That's right. Hot and fresh and ready to go. Bobby, tell people what you're doing this week on All Around Science so they can check it out and listen.
Well, just this past Tuesday, it was 2 days ago, we recorded a live episode, which will be released this coming Monday. We recorded a live episode for our 55th episode. Now, that sounds like a funny number, but it's because we don't celebrate normal podcasting milestones.
What? Not on the hundreds and 200s? And
no. You weird. Know, if you're going to arbitrarily pick numbers to celebrate that are just based on how many zeros are behind the number... we figure, let's be more interesting with that, and we celebrate every episode that falls on the Fibonacci sequence of numbers.
Oh, look at you. Wow.
So number 55 was what we just did, and that happens to also be close to a year of episodes. So we thought, let's do something special. We don't ever record live, so we recorded live, and we took phone calls and answered some questions. I know we had several people from the Tadpool who were watching live, and we took one question from, you may know, Kyle from Wisconsin, who's you've heard from before.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
He called in and asked us a question, but that was a good episode. We talked about a lot of different things, and a cute little kid called and asked about tadpoles and frogs.
Oh, so, that is cute.
I hear the Fibonacci sequence came when Fibonacci was watching Rabbit's Mate or calculating
Is that true? I didn't know that.
Yes, that is true. That is true. It was, yeah. I'm thinking about how animals in the wild multiply. It turns out that, yeah, when if pure sort of one-to-one, it's calculation of how rabbits multiply kind of generally follows this Fibonacci sequence in a theoretical sense.
Sure.
Right? Like if right. you have, but yeah, that's true.
Is that a bunch of hokey though, that rabbits are the most like, reproducible animal on the planet?
Prolific reproducers.
Yeah. It's always been the big joke in cartoons and everything. It's like, oh, rabbits, yeah. They're just going to do it like rabbits.
I think that's just
do it like rabbits or multiply like rabbits is the phrase. Yeah.
I think it's because we keep them as pets, and so it maybe surprises us at when it happens.
Yeah, that feels like one of those. Like we'd find out later that there's like 100 and other, 150 other species that mate more often.
I'm sure
often.
There's like single-celled organisms that reproduce faster than rabbits or something.
COVID reproduces pretty fast.
There you go.
Yeah, we have them. Yeah. Put cute bunny ears on one of those. See how that goes.
Exactly.
For
yeah.
All right. Bobby, is always a pleasure having you here, and we look forward to doing it again next week. Have a great one. We'll see you next time.
Thank you.
Bye now.
Bye now. Bye now. Bye.
Off he goes. And now, a visit to the news desk.
In the News is sponsored by... You'll find quality in our corner.
Yes, you will. And it's the news, and it's brought to you by...
Open a window. Holy cow. Brought to you by Coverville. Today on the show, 1 p.m. Mountain Time, we're going to be celebrating the birthdays of Florence Welch of Florence and the Machine. She's turning 35. And the Queen Bee, Beyonce, turning 40, is also who we're going to be celebrating. And one of them does a cover of the other's song. So there's going to be a little tendril connecting the two parts of the show today. That's going to be 1 p.m. Mountain Time, coverville.tv or twitch.tv/coverville.
Very nice. Make sure you check that out.
I'll probably be playing Deathloop while sets of music are going.
Sure. Are they friends still, all the Destiny's children? Are they?
I don't know. There was some animosity between Michelle and Beyonce for a while. My guess is that they are. They're not all getting together for at the coffee bean for lattes.
That's unfortunate. That bums me out. I always like when... I don't know. I like
hearing when the Spice Girls get together and are hanging out outside of the thing.
I feel like most bands just don't do it. Rolling Stones aside, they all just sort of, and I'm not sure the Rolling Stones like each other all that much. I feel like they just, that's just the machine.
I don't know. You play together for as long as you do.
Yeah.
But like Sting, definitely not hanging out with Stuart Copeland or Andy Summers. There's a rift there.
Yeah, they don't get into his tantric lovemaking.
They don't. What, there's no 3-hour hanging out with Andy Summers for Sting.
Sting's in something I saw yesterday, a commercial for on something. He's in that new Steve Martin Short. Celine's,
really? Only Murders in the Building?
Yeah, saw Sting in there in one of the ads.
Cool. And, that's coming up on our list. We just finished... Well, I almost don't want to say. I'm not going to say because I'm using it for recommendals. But
TV show, movie,
TV show? Series on Amazon Prime. Mm-hmm. Heavy, heavy stuff recommended to us by Steven Schleicher. And man, it was heavy.
Heavy. I like heavy. I can do heavy.
Yeah.
All right. Sidian. Selena Gomez's voice does not match with her body. What does that mean? What should it be? I don't know. That's a weird thing to say.
She looks like she's 14, so she should have a 14-year-old voice, but she has a much lower register.
She has a lower register, and she sounds very mature. So yeah, I can see that.
Yeah,
but it's not like she's walking around. Going,
I get it. I think I get it. But
I'm Selena Gomez. Something like that. If it was like that, we'd all be weirded out.
Yeah.
All right. Here's your first story. Butterflies released in Finland contained parasitic wasps. With more wasps inside.
Oh, no.
Ah! This sounds like a terrible story. One that I'll be careful.
Parasitic wasps with more wasps inside. Yeah. 20% more wasps inside.
Yeah, you want more wasps. I got good news for you.
For more wasps.
when caterpillars of a beautiful butterfly were introduced onto the tiny island of Satunga in the Åland Archipelago, scientists hope to study how the emerging butterflies would disperse across the landscape. This is always dangerous. Don't introduce anything to anything. Let nature do it.
Exactly.
Whenever we do this, we F up. We go, oh, we're bringing these birds over to America.
Yeah, you mess up the whole the whole infrastructure, the whole ecosystem of a place.
Now they're over here.
Look at kudzu.
Yeah.
Have you not learned anything from the kudzu?
That's right. They come over here, they eat all our trees, and then you're like, well, now we got to bring those snakes in. They eat those birds, they eat the trees. Oh, no, now the snakes eat babies. Well, now we got to find a thing that'll eat the snakes. Like, it's just too much, man.
Yeah.
Anyway, it says here, the researchers did not realize their introduction of the Granville frillity, or the Metea synaxia. I don't know how to say these damn names.
The fritillary. The Granville fritillary.
Fritillary. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. Led to the emergence of three other species to the Baltic Sea Island, which sprang out of the butterfly like Russian dolls.
Ugh. Oh, God.
Yeah, I know.
Ugh.
Some of the caterpillars contain a parasitic wasp, the Hyopster horticola. Refreshing on a summer hot summer day. A horticola.
But drink!
This bursts from the caterpillar
It's
the real pain. It bursts from the caterpillar before it can pupate and become a butterfly. So this happens before all that thing finishes up. And then living inside of some of these small wasps is an even tinier, rarer parasite called the hyperparastoid wasp, known as the... I don't want to read that name. It kills the...
Stigmaticus.
There you
go.
Stigmaticus?
Stigmaticus.
That's when you got like...
Mesochorus stigmaticus. You can't see very well.
It's okay when you have Jesus holes in your hands, right? Stigmaticus?
Stigmata, yeah. There you go.
Pretty close.
Oh, that's actually probably where, more than stigmatism. Yeah, stigmata.
Yeah. All right. You can't see very well. I have a stigmatism. Or I used to have it in my left eye. I don't have it anymore because the surgery got rid of it. Anyway, it kills the parasitic wasp around the same time as the wasp kills the caterpillar and emerges 10 days later from the carcass of the caterpillar. Jeez Louise. All along for the ride was a bacterium that's there as well, called the female H. horticola wasps, and transmitted to her offspring by some unknown mechanism. Wolbachia pippinitis, pippintis,
pipientis,
increases the susceptibility of the parasitic wasp to be taken over by the tiny parasitic wasp M. stigmaticus, which can only live on the H. horticola wasp. The bottom line is...
This concludes Scott's reading of Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you tomorrow.
They do all sound like Harry Potter spells. Oh my gosh. That's funny. The bottom line is they're just... it's like a bunch of, I don't know, Voltron wasps living in the butterfly. It's awful.
This whole thing sounds like... they should just get rid of burn whatever stock they have of these wasps because there is nothing good about these wasps.
Nope.
I can't imagine they're good for any ecosystem, even their own.
Or burn the butterflies, I guess, and then they won't do all the other things.
So burn the butterflies.
Like, why are you even bringing them there?
There's a show title, by the way, right there. Burn the butterflies.
Burn the butterflies. I don't know why they don't. Or why they took him there in the first place. They never get around to telling us that. Like, they're just trying to see how they move around. But this is bad. Don't do this. It's bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Unless there's some crazy new reason. Like, oh, these butterflies will cure cancer or something. Like, I don't know, man. Seems like you picked the wrong horse.
Oh, yeah. No, we have wasps that live inside butterflies. And then we have wasps that come out of those wasps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the butterflies themselves never live because their carcass has to hold the third kind of parasite that comes out of that. Good Lord.
Yeah, no. Everything you just described is bad.
Yeah, nothing's good. Except this next story.
Okay.
Scientists have learned... boy, it's a lot of science today. They've learned that you can potty train a cow almost better than you can potty train a human.
Okay, all right.
They're using something called Mulu. Turns out cows can be potty trained as easily as toddlers, possibly easier.
The name of my all bovine streaming service. Now I've got to come up with a new name.
Yeah, get on that. The Mulu, was that the one?
Mulu. Yeah, Mulu.
Mulu Plus.
Can't use Mulu anymore.
Yeah, I've got a Mulu Plus subscription that gets me no ads. So that's right. Nice. I like that. Anyway, it turns out cows can be potty trained as easily as toddlers. It's no bull, says this article.
Oh,
we need a sound clip that we can play every time someone does a shit thing like that in their
article. Oh, we totally do, yeah.
What would it be, though? Let's think of
it. It should just be like like some film sack thing where somebody just says, just stop. Or stop it. Yeah. Or don't.
Something. I got something. I'm going to find it. I think this okay. needs to All happen. Right. Anyway, scientists put the task, to the test, and 11 out of 16 cows learned to use the moo loo when they had to go. Just like some parents, the researchers used a sweet treat to coax the cows to push through the gate and urinate in a special pen. And it took 15 days to train the young calves. Some kids make it, actual kids may take a little bit longer. The cows are at least as good as children, aged 2 to 4 years old, at least as quick, says senior study author Lindsay Matthews, animal behavior scientist at New Zealand's University of Auckland, who worked with colleagues on testing the indoor animal research lab in Germany.
Can we really call it potty training? Really what we're doing is we're teaching cows how to use a giant litter box.
Yeah, kind of, right? It's not the same as a toilet.
No, it's like, oh, then I've potty trained my cat. Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah, amazing. No, like, yeah, they need to push a button and put a seat down. How about that, cows? Murr, who left the seat up? Murr. That's what I mean.
Exactly.
The bidet's broken.
Ace of the Jungle. By the way, Ace of the Jungle might have it. Whenever we come up with one of those bad jokes, it should be Marissa Meyer's laughter.
That's not bad.
That's not bad.
All right,
That's
hold on. I'm pulling one up.
Still?
Let me get one up here because it's worth it's worth checking. All right, so horrible. No, it's not her. Hold on. No. No. Gosh dang it. What? You'd think I'd... Oh, I know why. Well, okay, I know why. Here we go. No, that's not it.
That's pretty good, though.
That's not it either. No, where is her laugh? Is this it? Here it is. Her laugh is so good. It's so good. It's so amazing. So she's not there anymore, right? She's done, I think.
She's done, yeah.
Yeah. I need to write her name on this clip.
They laughed her ass right out of her.
Melissa Myers. Okay. We'll ruminate on that. All right. Anyway, so a bunch of cows can now pee when they need to, is the point.
Good. Yeah, in a special pen.
They'd call a toilet. I would call a litter box. Well done.
Yeah, exactly.
Final note here. 40% of people polled in a recent poll would totally have sex with a robot, according to this study. I'll bet you that's closer to 65%. There's just going to be a bunch of people that would never admit it. But I think a lot of people would do it with a robot. I mean, the right robot. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking about
Yeah, no, it'd have to be the right robot. It would have to be a fembot from Austin Powers.
Right.
The Ex Machina robot.
Yep. Don't say Johnny Five. Don't say Johnny Five.
I'm not going to say Johnny Five. Are you kidding me? No.
No means no.
Need output.
Need output. That's really funny. Oh my gosh. All right. You never know until you've tried it, says this article. Here we go. Emerging from the enterprise of chatbot TDO. Oh, wait. What is this? Okay. 1,200. We don't care about that. 1,200 people. offered a fascinating view of the future, or more precisely, a fascinating view of other people's view in the future. 69% of college graduates worry that AI will take their jobs and make them irrelevant. Blah, blah, blah. I don't know why they're not getting to the point here. This article's weird. Hold on a second. And it's okay. Majority of these. Okay. Boy, I really, you know what, ZDNet? You need to quit taking so long to get to the meat here. It's like, when are you going to show me the alien? All right. It's a bad article. The point is, in this study, that many people said they'd have sex with a robot. That's all. That's all there is to it. There's nothing to read there.
Aaron Rodgers was doing it for a while.
Who?
Aaron Rodgers of the Green Bay Packers. He was with, I can't remember her name. From G4.
I get it.
Yes.
Deadeye, what's her name? Olivia Munn.
Yes, Olivia Munn. Thank you, yes. That would be a funny joke if I could actually remember the name of his girlfriend.
Sure. She's a very advanced AI robot lady.
She is. Yeah. They just didn't hook up the eyes to do anything. The eyes just never change.
Nope.
No, Shailene Woodley is who he's with now.
Oh, well, he gets around. Jeez.
He does. And he needs to stop it and start thinking about football again. Yeah. Because
get your head in the game.
His mind's not on the game, damn it.
Get your head in the game. Shake it off. Knock it out. Knock it off. Clear hearts. Can't lose. Whatever. All that.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
All right. We're going to take a break. When we come back, my sister Wendy will be here. And for a good 30 minutes, we're going to talk about this email we got. So that's all coming up shortly. Stick around after this song presented by Coverville Incorporated. Brian, what do you got?
Yeah, this is one I always love hearing from Bob from the band Papa Satch. He always reaches out whenever they've got a brand new CD, and they do. They have a brand new CD called Echoes. CD. They have a brand new release.
Are you saying
he did put CD?
Papa's got a brand new song. Is that what you're telling me?
Papa's got a brand new bag. Mm, exactly.
Great.
This is the song "Sun to Shine." It's from the brand new release by Papa Satch called Echoes. Listen, if you want some good old '90s, kind of straightforward rock and roll, like Toad the Wet Sprocket, something that was the first band that came to mind when I heard this. I'm like, oh, this is great. Yeah. Here is Papa Satch and the song "Sun to Shine."
Time I want the sun to shine, turn down the path to where it never goes. Follow dark dreams down the alleyway, chasing shadows back from long ago. Every time you try to tell me so, turn my head away, didn't wanna know. Fear was stronger than my need to know. My naked heart, it scared me so. Every song I write's an open page, crying out to me, don't be afraid. Around each turn I take, I still see you, a light that calls me to push on through. And every time you try to tell me so, turn my head away, don't wanna show. Feel what's stronger than my need to know. My naked heart, it scared me so, scared me so. Those who told you I'm an open book, just read the cover, never took a look. If you dig further, you just might find the true story that'll change your mind. In this dream, as you come near me, you disappear. In my soul, I see you clearly. Then you appear. Every time you try to tell me so, turn my head away, didn't wanna know. Feel was stronger than I need to know. My naked heart, it scared me so. Every time you try to tell me so, turn my head away, didn't wanna know. Feel was stronger than my need to know. My naked heart, it scared me so. Scared me so. Scared me so.
Today I'm going to be pranking my grandma with this fake turd.
3 weeks.
We can't wait 3 weeks.
3 weeks.
The morning stream. Computer, stop the flow of time.
Welcome back to the program. That song again.
That is Papa Satch and the song "Sun to Shine" from their brand new release, Echoes.
Echoes.
Echoes, 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 echoes.
Hey, somebody emailed me or sent me a message over Twitter yesterday, a DM, informing me that Kid Laroi, the kid, the rapper dude I was talking about yesterday.
He does that song with Biebs.
Yeah. He's not a white kid. He's indigenous.
I don't have it
in front of me. But there's
Australian indigenous,
something like that. And it's good for me to see these things. Says, I don't know. I just see what I see. I just see a kid doing rap and I go,
do we not? So this I should know, but I don't. So Aboriginal is not, approved term anymore. I know we don't even say Native Americans anymore, right? We call them indigenous peoples.
Well, here's what he said. Oh, okay. I found it. Kid Laroi.
I want to make sure I get this stuff right.
Yeah, I don't like it when I get it wrong. I try to get it right. You do your best, you know? You try and you do, and you do, and if you don't get it quite right, well, you whatever.
The world's changing, Scott. It's constantly changing. We got to keep up with it.
Oh, okay. Here we go. Kid Laroi is a First Nations kid who is named himself after his people, which is the Kamal Laroi. Aussie First Nations. Sorry, I need to make that more obvious, he says. So I don't know what that actually means, though. Is that the indigenous people that were there, like, you know, Aboriginal folks who lived there before? I don't know.
Yeah, that I don't know.
So Native Australian, is that the deal? I don't know. Someone can tell
First
me what that
Nations,
is.
Yeah. Okay.
Anyway, but I want to thank him. His name is Mirren on chat or on Twitter, and it was very nice of him to reach out.
Oh, Captain Kipper says that First Nations is what they use in Canada as well. Okay, First Nations. All right, cool.
And we don't do that here. What do we say? Native Americans is what we say.
We say Indigenous people here.
Oh, Indigenous people.
Because I think Native Americans is no longer.
Right, right. Because they weren't Americans. They were never like the first Americans.
That's a good point. Yeah,
yeah. Came here and went, it's America.
Yeah, exactly.
Good. Move out.
We didn't choose that name. You chose it.
Yeah, that's right.
You didn't even ask us.
Didn't even ask.
Right.
All right, let's get Wendy in here.
Please. I think we did a good job.
I think we did. I
found that without embarrassing ourselves.
Yeah, we didn't say anything too stupid. So
yeah. Yeah.
Give me time. I'll have something else to say.
That's why it's good that we stopped.
Yeah. Stop while you can, while you're ahead. All right, let's do this. Everyone knows it's Wendy. After a bit of a hiatus, my sister Wendy is back. Hi, Wendy.
Hi, I'm back.
Yeah, you're back.
Welcome back. We're all back.
Yeah, we're all back.
Yeah, Brian, hey.
Hey, oh, yeah. That's true. You
How
were here.
Was Ireland, Brian? Ireland.
It was very green. The people were all wonderful, and the roads are horrible. they're well-maintained, but too skinny.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of like I used to be.
Yeah. Last week
I used to be well maintained and skinny. No longer.
Yeah. Those days are gone for me as well. Last week Wendy was busy, couldn't be here, and I don't know. You probably didn't want me to do this, but I blabbed as to why. Wendy was helping a family who was dealing with a death and had just not immigrated here. They were refugees. Yeah, they're refugees, and so Wendy was like full bore trying to get them help and deal with financial issues because, you know, a funeral in America turns out very expensive. Yeah.
Holy cow.
Yeah. It's bad. So imagine coming here, refugee status, you get here, and one of your loved ones dies. What are you going to do?
And here's the thing. Like, the county would help offset the cost, but they had just gotten all of their COVID, like, child tax money, and like so suddenly it looks like they had some money, and these are people with like no money. Suddenly for the first time they have money in the bank, and the county's like, oh well, you have money, so no. And I'm like, oh, okay, so that was the conundrum. They really do have assistance if you don't have any money, but in this case it was like it's the tricky part of, you know, being poor in America.
Yeah, no kidding. But anyway, so Wendy was doing like a really nice thing last week. And
were you doing?
Nothing at all. We did this show. I did this show with my wife, and we laughed and told jokes. It wasn't really helping anybody.
Yeah,
I probably
had a pleasant afternoon. I have to say this. I met the funeral director, and so when a funeral director walks into a room, what's your first expectation?
Oh, geez. What would you say?
That they're going to be tall and skinny and look like the guy from Phantasm.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's the start.
That's my first expectation.
Tell me about the voice. What do you think they're going to sound like?
I expect
Hello.
you need. You, I expect those guys to go, we have a very nice oak solution that is a little more price conscious.
Exactly. Yeah. All right. So this guy walks in, and I mean, louder and a loud, like carnival scream across the room voice. I don't know what carnival means, but
hello,
yeah.
Welcome to.
Seriously, I seriously thought you need to be on Broadway, not directing a funeral home. He was probably 5'4" or something. So funny and loud and just gregarious. He knew my name like immediately and said it 80 times and was like, I was like, I don't know what to do. Should we whisper? Like, there is a funeral happening. Anyway, it was.
That's funny.
Yeah, wow. That is
awesome.
Funny.
It was kind of nice to have that opposite experience.
I would never expect that. Yeah. I would always expect the quiet guy for sure.
Yeah.
Telling jokes. He's like, how are we going to save you guys some money today?
I'm
like,
wow.
Where am I?
What's it going to take to put you into this nice oak number that I've got?
So that was the highlight of that day.
Well, don't feel bad. I'm sure when there are some inevitable deaths coming in our lives, and when those happen, it'll mostly be me and Misha on the ground here. So
I'm not going to fly in for that. So
no,
that's fine.
Hell no. We'll have you on the phone for how it's going, but you won't have to deal with the hard part of it. You'll just be, saving people out there in refugee land. So well done.
Yeah.
Let's get to it. We got an email here that we're going to deal with. Of course, if you're new to the show, you may be like, wait, why is Scott's sister here and why are you answering questions? Wendy is a licensed therapist. She helps real people all the time with their actual problems and comes on Thursdays and does Therapy Thursday, where we help somebody with theirs. And today, why it's one of those days. So let's get straight to it. This is from somebody who would like to be known as M. They said this at the top is very nice. Says, first off, I'd like to say thanks to all of you on the podcast, as well as for the therapy segments. I found a ton of enjoyment and a lot of thought-provoking content around the therapy segments that you've done. So now to my problem. I've taken some of Wendy's advice regarding the new wave of the pandemic that's affecting people that have been doing the right thing the whole time, masking, social distancing, getting vaccinated, etc. Her advice was to focus on something else entirely, not the news or pandemic. I've always wanted to start towards a business of professional baked goods, bread, pastries, etc. Over the past month or so, I've heavily leaned into the practice, going as far as asking basically everyone I know to taste, give suggestions, give feedback to any or anything and everything that I'm doing. My wife commented in the beginning, well, it's about time you did this. And as of 2 days ago, she's already concerned about us having to be stuck at home all the time, especially on the weekends. Now, I would say we're both in counseling separately for different reasons. Mine is more about controlling emotions, anger, and needing advice for help with parenthood. Hers is more around anxiety that has come from being stuck working at home, not seeing people in person for almost 2 years now. I feel like I need advice about this and what I'm supposed to do. This is a dream I've had for probably close to a decade. I love feeding people, and I never have been more excited or ready to start a venture like this. The concerns she's having about being stuck at home don't actually apply to her, and with me just starting out, don't actually apply to her, and with me just starting out, I already feel like she is trying to throw roadblocks down. I don't think she's trying to stop me, but I do feel like she is putting the cart before the horse a little bit. Or as our dad would say, putting the horse before the cart, which is the actual right way to do it. But he never knew. Anyway, how do I talk to her about this so I'm not just pushing her feelings aside, but also getting my point across? I want to be a business owner, and I want to make people happy with food. I also want a happy family and a family that can be proud of the work I'm doing. Thanks for reading. And again, love you all in the show so much. Cat and chicken porn. Bye. He says,
God, that's a really good, problem, but a really well presented problem.
I agree.
Totally get it.
Yeah.
And every email should end with cat and chicken porn.
I agree.
Cat and chicken porn.
Yeah. Wendy's famous line, cat and chicken porn. So I just wanted to say real quick at the top of this, this reminds me so, I don't know if she's in the chat room today and she hates when I talk about her when she's not here, but, Carter feels like this right now because she just graduated, just got her degree, ready to take on the world, ready to grab all these opportunities. And then each of those opportunities keep getting shut down for one reason or another, mostly pandemic related. Like, they shut down whatever. So they're not even doing interviews there now. So we can't go to that country to try to work at that place or whatever. She's trying to do an international thing and all that. And it's just, it just changed everything on her. And so she's got this moment of like, well, am I supposed to, like, what am I supposed to do? So anyway, I just, for whatever reason, that part of this question resonates. So Wendy, what do you want to do here? How do you want to tackle it?
Yeah, well, let's just start with this. Both of them are in therapy. Yay. That's mm-hmm. great.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to probably offer a little advice on what topic to take to your therapist about this, which is just so handy. I'm just excited. This is an option in this email. Yeah. Okay. And that being, so you're both talking to your individual therapist about, you know, strain and stress of life and what's been going on. And just, you know, it sounds like this person also has emotions that he's trying to work through, right? So anger, sort of whatever's going on with maybe with some parenting things. It does sound like, you know, maybe hasn't had the job of his dreams and this is now the chance.
Until he found this one. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a chance to do this thing he's always wanted to do and it brings him joy and all this good stuff. Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is great because we have somebody that is dedicated for one solid hour with you to go through what is happening to you with how your wife is responding. Okay. So this is what's important here is that everybody says words that come to their minds when they feel certain things. So if you feel threatened, I mean, think about it for a moment, both of you, where you have said something in defense, and then you've said something when you don't feel defensive at all. And it's like maybe the same topic,
yeah.
or it's maybe even talking to the same person. Like it can be completely different, right?
Yeah.
You might, you know, later go, oh my gosh, I can't believe I said that. Or why would I, you know, I don't even feel that way or, you know, whatever it might be. So you really do have a different response often in these two situations, right? So when we feel defensive, humans have, we have a different response. We have a different biochemistry happening at that moment when we are in defend mode versus when we are open and listening and curious, right?
Right.
So when she says anything about his dream that isn't maybe straight up positive, like you're gonna nail this and we're so excited for you, it might feel a little scary or a little threatening. At this point, nothing here seems really harsh, right? Like she's basically, where did it go? What does she say exactly?
Just that she's concerned that this is gonna keep us stuck at home all the time, especially on weekends.
Right.
Because you'll be doing, so, you know, your work.
Because you'd be working on the business, yeah.
As the business, right. So what she's saying is, hey, you know, this issue I'm in therapy for, this 2 years of not seeing other people being stuck at home, your dream is making me think that's what's going to happen more. And and so she's expressing that concern.
Yeah.
So like any two people talking, you know what you think and what you need and what you feel and what's going on in you and whatever the other person is doing can either feel in support of what you already think is going on with you or feel like an attack at something that's going on with you. Yeah. So he's going to be hearing things in this sort of maybe fragile beginning stage that mean, you know, would worry him. Like, she's not going to support me. Mm-hmm. And notice it gets pretty dramatic. Like, all I want to do is make people happy with food. I just want a happy family and I want people proud of the work I'm doing. That is a serious tall order.
Yeah.
For the beginning of a business,
yeah,
right? Now, it doesn't mean those aren't true and that's not a really good big picture hope. But if that is what you're going in with that kind of, I need all of this from this so desperately, any criticism is going to feel harsh, right?
Yeah.
And we're not even at harsh criticism yet. So no one has said, you know what, that pastry, disgusting.
Yes. Nobody, right. None of it has been about the actual bread and pastry work that he's doing.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's not something else special going on here that everyone needs to acknowledge is a husband and wife or any kind of partnership, long-term committed, you know, you're doing this life together or as platonic and your roommates, whatever. But when you are doing something and one of you has a big idea, this is why I think there's never a Hollywood marriage that ever works, right? Like big, growing, I'm going to change. I'm doing something totally different. That is really difficult to have the other partner be at the same pace and at the same place.
Yeah.
And so
People
this
always,
is
people always just assume that those divorces come because they're, you know, bad people or you know, just self-serving, whatever's. But I think it's probably way closer to what you're saying, or way more often what you're saying, which is just that you're just both going at like 10 speed, or one of you can only go at one speed and the other one has to go at 10 speed for what they do for their living. And now you're just so far apart, you barely see each other. Like, why are you even married? Like, I think that's 90% of why those people don't stay together.
Totally. Totally. Yeah. And the ones that seem to work, and I know this is very, like, I don't even follow celebrities, so I shouldn't even be talking, but I do think, from just very guessy work, is that it's like a not famous person who just like really is grounded in their own life and what they do, who then is with a famous person, feels like those ones work because they're not trying to be on stage. They're not fighting for any microphones, you know?
Right.
And that's just maybe oversimplifying that, you know, having two very different goals and both getting what you need out of those, oh, that could work. But when it's time, attention, energy being drawn from the other, even if it's not that we both want the microphone or we both want to be bakers, it's that it might feel like you're going to lose to this new endeavor or growth. So often when, and I've mentioned this on the show before, but when I work with individuals who are coupled, I always say, all right, so here is a risk of therapy, is that you start changing and growing and seeing things differently and your partner isn't at home, not changing and growing.
Yeah.
And often that can cause a lot of strain. So there really needs to be consent and awareness, and maybe that person gets therapy or we do couples work instead, you know, because it really is a risk to pull that couple apart. So in this case, they're both doing individual therapy and maybe they get to talk about some of these things and it's helping. But maybe one thing they can both bring to their therapist is just, how do I deal with my feelings about how my partner is responding to this new endeavor? Right. Mm-hmm. And also, how do I understand her? In this case, this is the guy emailing. How does he understand where she is coming from?
Mm-hmm.
And now, so this is, let's just take the very specific words he used of, I want everyone to be proud of me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. And so if that is the underlying need in your conversations with her, when she has any complaint about anything, we're going to be in trouble.
Yeah.
So it's really looking inward and figuring out, why do I need everyone to be so proud of me? So I can't just love bread and make people happy eating it.
Right. You've got to have some external validation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So now it's complicated. So that's a thing to untangle. Disembowel is not the right word.
Disembowel.
Untangle. Disentangle. Entangle.
Sure.
Unwind with your therapist so you get a good sense of like, okay, what is this really about? Because I'm going to tell you, businesses are really hard to start. Bakery life is nearly impossible to pull off. My husband comes from some donut people who everyone in the next generation quit because it's ridiculous life.
Yeah.
And so
next time you have a Dunford donut, just know that that was almost an
Adam
moment.
There's a lot of, and I have a friend here.
I'm just visualizing donut people right now. Hold on a second.
Well, I have a friend here who owns a bakery and she gets up at 2 a.m. every day.
Yeah.
She goes to bed at 4 p.m. every day.
Yeah.
That is not normal.
No.
Anyway, I guess it's normal for some things, but just hard. And as the owner, it's really hard. Now, maybe there's another version and that he's going to figure this all out. I don't want to discourage him, but the reality is there's going to be a toil that you have not experienced yet that's coming your way.
Yeah.
And so to be really careful to inoculate the relationship with really honest questions. So you get excited, you start making your pastries, you're testing them out, you're doing all that fun stuff. You are excited and your wife is like going to be hesitant, but wants to support you. How do we get to the bottom of that?
Yeah. But the other complication in this is that when he started doing it, she said, well, it's about time you did this, right? Like, was very supportive. And it's, I think she's realizing how much work is going to be involved with it. Maybe more than he is, or she's just now coming around to realizing how much work is going to be involved with this.
Yeah. But also like she was in the beginning, she sounded super stoked. Like, yeah, finally, let's go. Let's do this. I'm behind you 100%. And now just I sense this feeling from him. He's not saying it overtly, but I sense this feeling from him like, well, she was into it, but I feel like she's maybe not into it. Like maybe the support was only superficial.
The rug was pulled out from under him where she was supportive. Yeah. And now she's now she's kind of turning against the idea.
Yeah, and that's kind of a poo feeling. You don't want to feel that way.
No.
Right.
No. And here's the thing. If you, like, he's actively working on his emotional health with somebody, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which is awesome because he's going to need that to do this, right? He's going to need to know his motives, how he operates internally, how to manage his feelings, how to understand his feelings. He needs to, you know, sort of have that work at the same time to really be able to communicate clearly with her on an ongoing basis. This will require many conversations. Long-term committed relationships require many moments of like, all right, let's reevaluate that. And let's have a conversation again about this thing. Hey, are we doing this in a circle? You know, like this is just, that's what's hard about, you know, pairing up and being monogamous the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Is that mm-hmm. you have to keep going and keep working. Now you're adding a big stressor that is your dream, not hers.
Yeah.
And her dream is that you do well and be happy. Sure. But that's easy to say. And then to live it while someone is really slogging through starting business, that's a lot different. So this would be work on your stuff. So like I always say, take your garbage out first as much as you possibly can. And then really work on how do you understand where she's coming from so she does not feel like you're abandoning her to this thing because you need to be everyone to be proud of you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you can still do the same amount of work because guess what? You're going to have to. You're going to pull this off. You're going to have to work hard. But can you do it with good communication with your spouse in order to be on the same page as much as possible, to ask for what you need, to make sure she's still not getting neglected and you're feeling connected? Like, this is going to be like the second bakery. It's hard to do this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I know I'm making it a little dramatic, but it's because I know exactly where this will go if you don't.
Right.
Either you will not create the business you want to create because it'll be too discouraging and too hard to do it what would feel like on your own, or you have got to do this sort of heroic effort in both arenas with your relationship. And it will probably be easier than the way I'm making it sound because she probably is really excited and does want to help, but you've got to make sure she has a voice here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that will require you dealing with why this is so important to you.
That's one of the things I was going to ask is, you know, is there a way that he can ask her, hey, what part of this business would you like to be part of? You know, maybe it is the part where it's the outward facing, working with people or talking to customers kind of thing, which would give her that personal interaction that she's been missing for the last year and a half.
And some buy-in to what the company will be. And here's the other thing. She may not want any buy-in. Needs to be okay too. But if that is not clarified, so I always, I have this lovely British client who, whenever I tell him to do stuff, he goes, oh, that's so American. And it's because I always say over communicate, and the Brits do not love to over communicate. And it just this, say it, ask more questions, get more interested. So for example, you're already testing your product on people. You're getting super excited about that. Same concept. You're going to really try to understand your wife. And just, hey, what do you really think about this? Let's talk it through. And this is where that defensiveness, going full circle back to when we feel defensive because we're having to overprotect something because we think it's being threatened, we act very differently. And one thing we do is we don't listen well, right? We don't understand well. And so if we can deal with our stuff a little better and go into that conversation really open, like, I need to hear everything you're thinking. I want to know what you really want here. And then, hey, there's going to be hard days where you might be like, oh, I don't want to do this. How should we handle that? It's like preempting all the stuff that is going to happen, which is you will both be tired. You will both hate baked goods eventually. You will both think you want to get divorced at least 3 or 4 times during this. Like, this stuff is coming. If you think this is just the fun dopamine part of testing out bakery goods, it's not going to work. There has to be some, and it's not to poop on your parade, but it is to get some real honesty. It's like
realism,
a prenup, kind of, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like have a business prenup conversation where you really, really understand where she's at and what she's hoping for. So you're going in this decision even, you know, more prepared.
For this, also, there's an interesting side of this, which is, I know we've got Wendy only for a couple more minutes because she's got a thing, but I wanted to mention this. Like,
shoot my dog up with some kind of drug. I don't know what it is.
I'm glad you didn't stop with shoot my dog, and I'm glad it was a pit.
Sorry.
But yeah, like Brian and I specifically have almost the exact same life experience in that we both had a moment with our wives where we said, I think I'm going to go full time with this. Mm-hmm. In whatever way we said it, we had a similar point of when we decided that we were going to pursue what we're doing full time. And we both probably have the exact same story about how supportive our wives were and how ready they were to help us do this. And we're going to make it mm-hmm. work, and maybe it's some questions, but we're going to make this happen. And then if you sat them down today and said, what was the first thought in your head when I said this back then? I'll bet you money both of them would say, I was completely freaked out, but I wanted to support you. Mm-hmm. They would probably say that. I know Kim would. She'd be like,
Brian. Tina would as well. Yeah.
So Brian would do it.
It scared the crap out of me, but I was ready to support whatever you wanted
to do. It was fine.
Did she listen to this?
Yeah, it's an old joke.
I guess it's the first time Wendy's hearing my impersonation of Tina.
It's an old joke.
It's exactly what she sounds like. 100%.
Yeah,
she sounds exactly like
that. Not even an exaggeration. But anyway, like, you know, I know that that would be the case. And so when I hear about this, I just think, well, yeah, of course she will have concerns, misgivings, nervous moments, all this stuff. That's just part of the deal. So even if the facade is full support, they still are going to have these feelings, you know?
And I'm actually concerned that if she's not expressing concerns, right? Like, I get the full support, but also not expressing concerns. This isn't, if Kim had to be in that office with you every single day and make sure you were getting your work done, this would not be the story, right? This is a bakery. I don't know if it's a bakery.
You're gonna stream another video game?
Yeah, exactly. Like, if she had to hold your hand or plug things in and push buttons, it's different. And I'm not saying that's what's required of the wife in this story, but it's going to require never seeing him. Mm-hmm. It depends. Depends on how they pull this off, obviously. But like, and here her concern is right now she's isolated.
Mm-hmm.
So you're hearing it. Whereas I don't know if Kim or Tina were just like, well, I'll just keep doing my thing while these jokers mm-hmm. try to figure this out. And I'll cut some coupons. I'm sure both of them were doing that. But.
Right, exactly. All right. Maybe if we don't eat on Thursdays, then we can make this thing happen. Yeah this whole podcasting thing can work.
Yeah.
No, and it's a good point, Scott. Like, do not expect her to just be happy with everything, because she shouldn't be. She should be scared. Yeah. But also, like, let's really talk about it. Like, find out. I mean, you're both in therapy. Like, this rarely happens. I'm just so excited about this. Like, mm-hmm. go to your therapist and say, help me navigate this. And then come back together and figure out some things with some guidance that, you know, not everyone has when they email in. So mm-hmm. just please do that.
Yeah. I got a bad dad joke to tell you. What happens when your therapist is mad at you?
Oh, I don't know.
They're therapist. Oh, man. Yeah. Send your donations in if you're feeling good about the comedy.
Gotta play the Melissa Myers clip when you see
it. Oh, yeah. I was supposed to do that, darn it. I forgot to. All right. Well, Wendy, always a blast and fun. And good luck with the dog. I'm sure he'll be fine.
He'll.
He will be fine. His name is Tommy, and we call him Thomas when he's in trouble.
Yep.
Real quick, I just want to say something to the emailer. If you start this said business, I want whatever you're making.
We want samples. That's right.
I got hungry just reading that stupid email.
Oh yeah, we all appreciate a good bakery. So
that's right, we want to support you, but you need to first figure out your marriage support situation first.
And we'd be happy to promote your bakery if you go for this. If you guys do this, let us know. We'll make a big deal out of it on the show. We'd love to do that for you and your local area there.
And if it's bad, then we'll also talk about that on the show.
Yeah, exactly. If it's bad, if it's terrible, you know.
Be careful.
If a roach fell out of my,
there was a fingernail in my muffin. What the heck?
Not going to be quiet on that one. All right, Wendy, have a good one. All our best to the dog, the family, and everyone. And we'll see you next week. Bye now.
Thank you. Bye.
All right, there goes Wendy. Into the mist goes Wendy.
There she goes.
Back into her deep, dark, therapeutic place. All right. Let's get to the ending things here. Although I do want to make a couple of programming mentions. In addition to today's live Coverville, which you heard about earlier, Mm-hmm. 1:30 Mountain, did you say? Or 1?
Oh, 1 p.m. Mountain time.
1 p.m. Yep. I don't know why I always want to say 1:30. I don't know what's up with that.
I think for a while it was on a 30, but I can't remember what 30 it was. It's been a while since it's been a different time.
Yeah,
but
it was zero dark 30.
That's exactly the one. Yes.
So a reminder, Friday, well, we're back on the track with the schedule. So Friday we'll have TMS PM at 2 p.m. in the afternoon. That's our new time.
That's right. Our new regular time for TMS PM.
That's right. Big thanks to the instance for moving up in time so I could do this. So 2 p.m. Friday, the TMS PM show will happen live for those who are patrons. And of course, on that feed, if you are not a patron, you can easily sign up and get that episode plus all our other bonus content throughout the week at patreon.com/TMS. The instance will be on tomorrow at 10 a.m. Film sack on Sunday this week. We're one day late. Brian's doing a walk with Tina.
A walk, an Alzheimer's walk for Tina's. So Tina's company is part of this sponsored walk for money to raise money for Alzheimer's. Boy, really hard for me to describe. We're walking for Alzheimer's here.
Doing a walk for I'm walking here for Alzheimer's.
Walking
here.
For Alzheimer's.
That's right.
It's funny. So I go through this whole thing designing these shirts for them, for her company. And the biggest holdup is, well, let's try it with this part white and this other part black. No, let's try this part black and this other part white, or maybe do this one in purple because the shirts are pink.
Yeah.
And I got the shirt this week when we got back from our trip, and it's all they used one color. They printed the whole thing in one color.
Oh,
so
no.
It's like, oh, okay, well, that changes things.
Wow. All right.
This whole design that we went back and forth on with different versions, and it's like, oh, okay, so I guess all right.
Yeah, I understand. This is the life of a graphic designer, man. This is what we have to deal with.
That's right, exactly.
Well, anyway, there's that. And then, of course, Saturday, I'm not doing this all in day order. I don't know why, but there will be Dungeons on Saturday at 2 p.m. guest starring. We have a one-off guest star with my daughter, Carter. She'll be on the show. So if you want to check that out and see what character she's made and how she'll fit into our campaign, and you like D&D, check that out. That's There Will Be Dungeons on Saturday. Lots of other stuff in between. Keep an eye on our Twitters for details. Brian's at Coverville. I'm at Scott Johnson. The show is at Morning Stream. And you can find our website at frogpants.com/TMS. That's going to do it for us today. Let's get a song out of here. What do we got?
I've got something going out to Michael Furlong, who also begins his email with "Hello, Scotch and Bourbon." That seems to be a regular one lately, Scotch and Bourbon.
Mm.
He says, "It was my 36th birthday on September 14th, earlier this week, and I'll be so happy and stoked to have a song played on or around that day."
Happy birthday to you!
There you go.
Recently found this one while browsing some covers, and it just made me smile. It's definitely a silly rendition of a song that I remember hearing constantly in middle school and high school. If that song doesn't work, anything Captain Coverville chooses would make me happy. Cheers to 36 years.
Oh, man, that's awesome.
Thanks for all you guys do. You make people's lives better, period. In the Utah, in the clip-clop? I guess that's the clip.
Oh, you want to hear the clip-clop? You want to hear that? I got that. Clip-clop. Wait. No, hold on. Oh, yeah, this is all. You know what? We haven't played this in a while. This is the one where Van chimes in. Here. I don't know if I should feel bad about that or good about that or what about that. Oh, thank
Too
you.
What,
that brought me a Crunchwrap Supreme. What?
Whoa.
What?
Looks like half a Crunchwrap Supreme.
Well, it might be a breakfast Crunchwrap. I'm not sure.
Oh,
thanks,
cool.
Carter. That's awesome.
Nice.
All right.
Where's my kid bringing me food?
Where,
damn it.
Where's Tristan with his handful of food?
I have to go get food myself. Oh, jeez, man. Louise. But I am going to go get Taco Bell today because I didn't yesterday.
Oh, you didn't do it? I was going to ask.
Nope.
But
ended up having gazpacho. We made gazpacho on Monday night, and we've been eating it for lunch for the last 2 days, and it's great, and it gets better the longer
it kind of gels
together.
Yeah, I love it. That's like Kim's jambalaya. You let it sit longer.
Yeah. All right. Anyway. All right. "My Heart Will Go On," originally by Celine Dion, of course, the theme from Titanic, or one of the themes from Titanic, performed here by Dragon Force from their 2019 album, Extreme Power Metal, which it is. But it's great. It is such a fun rendition of that song. Here are Dragon Force and "My Heart Will Go On."
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Marconi.